Well, hi guys, welcome back to our next podcast. I'm privileged to have with me the Reverend Bill Olendyke, and we're excited to be able to share a couple of thoughts related to discovering our self-worth. Bill, would you like to greet the folks?
Well, I certainly do. Appreciate this opportunity being here with Pastor Tony, and to all those who have the opportunity to listen to this podcast, I hope it'll be a blessing to all of you.
Great. Well, Bill, we're really excited to be talking about something that I think is critical as it relates to people's ability to have emotions and worldviews. I think one of the most important things that we could discover about life is who are we and how that is shaped, especially as we interact with people in the criticalness of really their identity. So why don't you go ahead and begin to kind of walk us through what you typically do as you're ministering to people related to how does God see them? What is it that you do or say that helps to process all of that?
Well, when I begin a counseling session, of course, I realize that the person sitting across from me has come to me with needs and many times very critical, many times chronic needs. And I see that my opportunity, it could be just one chance. And so I wanted to make it a meaningful experience. And so I usually begin by focusing on them and how they feel emotionally about themselves. I try to establish an understanding of how they value themselves, the worth that they see in themselves as a person. And there's certain questions that I ask them, very, very simple questions like, how do you value yourself? How do you see yourself here on this earth with your fellow man before God? And many times within a matter of moments, I can establish a pretty good understanding of their sense of self-esteem, self-worth, self-efficacy. And a verse that I usually quote to them is from the 23rd Proverb, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Of course, that's not gender specific. That has to do with women as well. But basically, as we value ourselves, that's who we are. That's how we present ourselves. Something I was taught early on in my grad school experience was to look at the person the way that they are groomed, the way they are dressed, and the ability to maintain eye contact, things of that nature, to establish and confirm really to you what you're feeling about how they value themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's also a very powerful bonding tool. If you can get people to speak about themselves while giving them the understanding and the belief that you value them, you are establishing a trust, a bond relationship with them, which in the course of your counseling experience will determine the depth of the openness, mm-hmm, and the commitment that they will show to you by entrusting, mm-hmm, the deepest things of their soul with you.
That's good. That's good. So basically what you're saying is it's critical, right? That people understand who they are, their identity, that they understand there's a self-awareness there of their image. And that really is critical. I think perhaps you could answer this question to their emotional health.
Yes.
I think that's kind of where we start, isn't it?
Of course. Of course. You know, someone once told me that a little saying, everybody wants to be somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do as a counselor. I try to make them feel like they're somebody to me.
There you go.
And they are. It's genuine. It's not something that, you know, it's an act that I'm putting on. I genuinely love people. I value them. I know that they're unique. Even more importantly than what I think about them is I have a realization of how valuable they are to God. And whatever the scenario is, I want to transfer that understanding of their value to them.
That's good.
And that always will influence their self-esteem and their self-worth.
That's good. So, and I'm hearing you loud and clear, and I totally understand that, but in the pastoral care ministry moment, as you are asking those questions about identity, as you're asking those questions about how they view themselves, maybe how they think God sees them, what are maybe some of the benefits beside building rapport and encouraging them to be transparent? Of course, we could see that happening, but what are some of the maybe the emotional benefits of that for them to be able to understand?
Well, of course, when you hear something, and almost without exception, I will say this, I'll ask the question, well, how do you feel God values you as a person? And many times they'll stumble with that and they won't be able to say anything that's really concrete or, has much content to it. And I will use different scripture verses, telling them, John 3:16, God so loved you that he gave himself, his son, his greatest possession for you, or I will tell them that, God loves you as a person. It's not that he just loves the multitudes or all the 7 billion people on this planet. He loves you individually, and you are his favorite child. You're number one.
That's good.
But so am I.
Yeah.
And so are the 7 billion.
There you go.
And only he can do that. He has the capacity to love all 7 billion of us alike at the same time.
That's amazing.
God has got you in his crosshairs. He's got you in his scope.
Yes.
His eyes upon you. And it's not only that God loves you, but he's in love with you. He's actively engaged in wanting to have a love relationship with you.
Good. That's good, Bill.
And he wants you to be whole.
Mm-hmm.
He sees you as a whole person. And he wants to, he sees the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
And he wants you to become that person.
That's good. That's good.
Because he loves you so much.
That's it. So let me ask you another question. That is tremendous. And I think that's really the spirit of why we do really what we do. But let me ask you the question to the person that has a poor self-image, to the person that really struggles with not really seeing how God sees them. What do you do if you're trying to get me to understand how valuable I am and I just don't buy it, or I've never been told that before, I'm a little confused, and maybe I don't have that paradigm that you do. So what is it that you might say to them to encourage them to see how God sees them?
Well, inevitably, I'll get into their history, especially their early childhood history. 90% of brain development takes place within the first 5 years of life. Those are the critical years for the development of the human personality. I will ask questions about my clients or the counselees' relationship with the mom and with the dad, the two most critical attachment figures, usually what's transferred to the child through those two primary attachment figures determine very much of the personality, especially how that child is going to view life, the worldview of that child, how that child is going to look at the world and values, his or her core values, will many times be developed through those two attachment relationships. I talk about trauma. I talk about neglect. I talk about painful experiences of early childhood. These are the big influencers of the human personality at that early age. And typically a child will grow up thinking and seeing the world as a wonderful place. Or what I call, the child will develop an adversarial relationship with the world where he or she feels like they have to fight their way through life.
Right.
And those are typically the ones that I find in my office more often than those.
I'm sure.
Not.
That's good. That's good. Well, Bill, thank you for the last several moments of just great wisdom and helping us to understand how we really help people to understand who they are, because obviously that will determine their emotional health and how they respond to people in our society. So thank you for those tips of really diving into the fact of how God sees them, how they view themselves, and how important that is as they walk through life. So we appreciate that. Thank you again, Bill. We'll see you guys next time.
All right.
Done.